for me like the petals of a rose bloom in the season, gentle and slow. My body is the mountain, the ocean, the river, the sand and the snow. The life giver, so come on now, my friend, speak to me, help me understand. Let us walk together, take my hand and we will heal this land.
And welcome to Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. I'm Connie Bjerk.
And I'm Michelle Kitzmiller.
And we are your hosts. Together we explore health, wellness, spirituality, emotions, and life issues from new perspectives. Join us as together we infuse vitality into life. If you have a desire to live a life that is more than what you are currently experiencing, if you feel stuck, are experiencing health concerns, or are curious about ways to improve your life, this show will give you new perspectives and steps to change your life. Today we're going to be talking about our beliefs, both conscious and unconscious, and how they affect our lives far more than we realize. In the last show, we talked about how our present experiences are influenced by whether or not we grew up in a home where it was safe to explore new things and where we felt safe. Or did we grow up in a home where there was a lot of trauma and chaos, and where experiencing new things and having the courage to do so wasn't so safe? We talked about domestications that we were taught early on in life and how they clearly influence what we currently believe for ourselves, both that we're aware of and that we're not. And although both can negatively affect us, it's really the ones that we're not aware of that can sabotage us seemingly out of nowhere. These beliefs that we have even infiltrate our self-talk. Every minute of our lives, they are that challenging to get away from. We've always got those thoughts going on in our head all the time, and it's hard to turn them off until or unless we consciously deal with them. In other words, we can't even believe everything we think.
Let's set a foundation real quick on the difference between beliefs and values, because I think that can be confusing for some people. So beliefs are a set of doctrines, statements, or experiences that we hold as true. They're deeply rooted in our psyche, and we each have an individual perception of what those are. So these preconceptions and generalizations regard really fundamental issues of life and how we perceive the entire world. So it's one's beliefs that determine our individual and social behaviors and that determine our values to a great extent. So then values refer to a set of ideas that guide how we evaluate right versus wrong, is how some people might look at it, or another way to put it, how we evaluate to make better choices over less helpful choices, which
yes,
might be a little bit of a different perspective on how to view things versus right and wrong. So the beliefs, like you said, sometimes can be those unconscious or subconscious things that we aren't even aware of.
Right. So when we think about taking the time to really examine our life and the things that we were taught as a child called domestications or beliefs, if you take the time to take a look at each one individually and really think about it, do I want this one in my life, or do I need to rewrite it so that it really is a direct statement of how I feel? We can do that and be more positive in our life and in the world, which the world could really use a lot more positivity these days. So the first step is really uncovering or identifying a belief that you were taught as a child, looking at it, holding it up, and deciding from the adult, mature self. Hopefully we've matured a lot since we were seven.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And, you know, think about, do you really believe this now? This process, you know, it does something that most people don't take the time to ever do. But unless we do it, we're just kind of flying by the seat of our pants through life.
And the great thing as an adult is we now can be conscious of those decisions. Whereas a child, as you're learning, it's less about being conscious, but more about learning how to be in the world. And now we can, and we use that word intentionally, of being conscious about something, because you get to choose. You get to choose what that looks like, or how to shift or change that for yourself.
Right. And when you choose the things that you really want to believe in, every other thing that you do in life becomes easier and more clearer. And when we're going through this process, which again, it takes some time when you're really going inward and examining things that you think and you believe, but it's one of the most important things that you'll ever do for yourself in your life. And if you can do it from a position of no blame, no guilt, but rather taking responsibility for yourself, your words, and your actions. You know, we're not out to blame our parents or our teachers or whatever, because everybody's doing the best that they can with the information that they have at the time.
That is one of my favorite things that we teach in the clinic to
yes.
people. And I think that because it's had such a profound impact on my own life, having those realizations that about just taking responsibility. And then it takes you out of that victim mentality, which I think some of us have a tendency maybe to be more swayed by, of, you know, I am a product of everything that's happening around me. And then we feel like, again, we go back to the choice. We feel like we don't have a choice. Like things are just happening to us and then we get knocked around. But when you take that step back and you just take responsibility for your own actions and see that everybody else has a role in what's going on as well, it's so much easier to kind of move through life with intention and purpose and feeling better.
Right. Another thing that a lot of people struggle with is guilt, right? So no blame, no guilt, right? Guilt is something that both blame and guilt are things that kind of spin around like a hamster on a wheel. We're moving, but we're not getting anywhere. And we have to really know and understand that feeling guilty just keeps us stuck in a place that we don't want to be. So now we're coming from a place where we're taking responsibility for ourselves and our life. When you come from that space, you're coming from an informed, a liberated space, a positive space, and your life begins to change in ever more positive directions.
It's empowering.
It is. And what we focus our time, energy, and attention on, we get more of. So it would really be good to focus on those things that are positive. This kind of goes back to the first agreement, you know, about being impeccable with your word. And not using our words against ourselves, too. So our beliefs then tend to frame that thought network for us. Do we believe that we are basically good or inherently bad? So we want to make sure that you feel self-love, that you're gentle with yourself, that you love yourself. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but how much you love yourself and how you feel about yourself is directly proportionate to the quality and integrity of your word. And nowhere is that more evident than in our self-talk. Because the most important thing is to not use our own words against ourselves. So how are you doing with that? Are you able to keep your thoughts positive about yourself?
And what are your triggers?
Ah.
What sets you off into those conversations with yourself?
Right. Sometimes when we're young, our parents will talk to us, or anyone, you know, it can be in a school setting, it could be anywhere, and they will talk about, you know, well, that's bad. Or when you think about domesticating a dog, right? Sometimes people will say, bad dog. And children are sometimes treated that way too, because we learn through repetition. And as children, it's so easy to fall into, I must be bad because I did that bad thing. And we want to make sure that as adults, we're not still harboring those feelings of, I'm bad because I did something bad. I'm rotten. It's very important. So what are your beliefs about yourself? Do you believe that you're capable, lovable, kind, basically good? What are some of the things that are kind of with you now that you experienced through childhood? It's kind of an important thing to think about.
Absolutely. I think another important thing with the domestications is knowing when you come up against someone else's. What does that look like?
Yes.
And how do you handle it?
Yes.
And it's usually when someone becomes very defensive, and they stop listening to what you're saying.
Right. And there's no way you can rationalize with someone who has this inherent domestication and they're not budging on it. They've never examined it, but they really believe it. And they will not move. And that's when you kind of can go, ah, yes, that's what I'm hitting. So then you know that there's nothing that you can do to talk to them about it, to make them see another point of view, because it's that ingrained in them.
There is some evidence that suggests that people will be more open to listening to something that contradicts their current belief system if it's presented in a non-threatening manner, in a worldview non-threatening manner, or if it's by someone that we perceive thinks as we do. However, this is the kicker, I think, is that in that moment, you're probably not going to create the shift. It might be something that you may have to come at from a different direction at another time. But having that knowledge, then you can have the forethought of how can I approach this differently with someone when I do come up against that. And I think that in families, in relationships, but even out in the workforce or with strangers sometimes, these are always applicable. How do we manage ourselves with someone else when we know that that's what we're up against?
Right. Well, on the next segment of the show, we're going to be talking about our self-talk and how it is affecting our life. For more information, check out our website at awakenedlivinginfusion.com. You can find podcasts of our shows on our website, AM950's website, iTunes, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thank you for joining us on Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show on AM950 Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll be right back.
Vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Steve, what are we going to talk about this week?
This week, we talk about how rates are making it difficult to become a homeowner, how it might be finally a buyer's market, and how blockchain is going to rule the real estate world.
Check us out for more information. Email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Dock and Lift in Spring Park reminds us that no one anywhere is more noble, righteous, selfless, or courageous than our U.S. Armed Forces. These brave men and women and their families foot the bill for our freedom every day. We can show we appreciate their sacrifices. Send a military care package today to let them know that they're now and always in our thoughts and prayers. This message from Dock and Lift in Spring Park. We live in the land of the free. Thanks to the brave.
Hey, it's Brett from AM 950. Election Day is Tuesday, and we're going to have live coverage on AM 950 that night. From 7 till 9, it's Matt McNeil hosting with lots of great guests, including Jeff Stein, Cliff Schechter, and more. Hunter, Eric, and I will be updating you on results from Election Central. Then at 9, we take over hosting duties as we'll chat with Doug Padgett and his Vote Common Good Tour and check in with the local candidates. So listen to the Blue Wave happen on AM 950 with our local election night coverage or watch it live on AM 950's Facebook page.
November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota. Rudy Luther needs to clear their inventory of fantastic 2018 Toyotas before the end of the year. Come see the popular and cool 2018 Camry with 0.9% financing to well-qualified buyers. And Rudy Luther is a top 10 largest volume Toyota certified pre-owned dealer in the country. The reason why? A second to none reconditioning process, great selection, and the best prices. November is Govember, so get going over to Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Wish for me like the petals of a rose blooming the season, gentle and slow. My body is the mountain, the ocean, the river, the sand and the soul. The life giver, so come on now, my friend. Speak to me, help me understand. Let us walk together. Take my hand and we will heal this land.
And welcome to Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. I'm Connie Bjerk.
And I'm Michelle Kitzmiller.
And we are your hosts. Together we explore health, wellness, spirituality, emotions, and life issues from new perspectives. Join us as together we infuse vitality into life. Well, today we're going to be talking about our beliefs, both conscious and unconscious, and how this is affecting our lives in ways that we may not be aware of. In this segment, we're going to examine more closely our own personal self-talk and what it might be doing to you. So let's talk about conscious language and conscious self-talk. It's important to realize that our beliefs influence our thoughts, which influence our feelings, our emotions, which influence our physical sensations in our body, and finally our behavior in the world. So every minute we are engaging in this self-talk, which is our own internal thought language. How do you feel about your current internal language? Is it a feeling of positivity in your life? Or are you feeling that it's running amok among the negative thoughts? We talked before about how 70%, actually over 70% of verbal communication is negative. Wow. That being said, where does that leave us with our self-talk? Our internal dialogues are sentences that we use to describe and interpret our world with. When we think about, we talked about in an earlier show how even being with someone for 5 minutes that's negatively affects our health, or staying in a job or a relationship that's negative increases our risk for heart attack and stroke by 60%. You spend 100% of your time with you. Uh-oh.
I've actually heard people make comments about how they would like to have a little break from themselves.
Yes, yes.
This is probably why.
That's right. So think about that. How are we negatively affecting our own health? That's not so, you know.
Especially when that's the one thing. It's inexpensive, right? If you're 100% putting all your effort in to being the best you,
it can be a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So if our talk is to ourselves is accurate and it's in touch with reality, we function well. We do great. We're happy. We're joyful. But if it's irrational and if we're believing and talking in ways that are false, we experience stress and disturbance within our life. Or in other words, drama, right?
Yes.
So some key words to watch for in your own mind. Are you using words like should never, shouldn't always, can't, won't, don't? These are called like the absolutes, right? The coulda, shoulda, wouldas, you know, and it's really a good thing to think about how much of your talk to yourself, I should never, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done that, is negative. And remembering, too, that nothing is ever done to us.
Right. Can't is a big one, I think, because
yes,
that then we have this preconceived notion that there are things out there that aren't possible, we're not capable of, and we start to put ourselves in a box when we maybe haven't even tried to do that something.
Right. So really being positive with yourself is an important thing. Can you think of instances where you really use that negative talk yourself?
Oh, where to start? We were having a conversation about this earlier, and that's different throughout different times in our lives, right? And that it changes, it ebbs and flows. Sometimes we're better about it. Sometimes we're not as good about it. The one right now that stands out to me is over the course of my lifetime, feeling like I'm not smart enough, like I need to know more to have a more intelligent conversation, or I need to know more about a subject in order to you really have something valid to say. Otherwise, maybe I should just keep my mouth shut. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to the detriment of myself not having enough confidence at certain times when it maybe would have been a time where my voice was just as important as someone else's, and I had just as much to say, but it really affected my being able to get out there and say it when I may have needed to, or it may have benefited me, maybe be a better way to say it.
Right. So that boils down to that belief somewhere along the line of I am not enough.
Yes.
Right. And we take off on variances of that all through our lives, and in different decades, it's different. In college, it's different than it was in grade school, high school. But then you get into adulthood, and if you parent, it's different there, too. There's a lot of shoulda, coulda, wouldas, and I'm not enough, I'm not good enough. If I was a better parent, this would have happened. Even in our professional lives, we can feel like we're not enough. So it's important to really look for those key words, those absolutes. If we're using them, stop, take a deep breath, and rethink this. Because it's important not to should on yourself. And I said should, S-H-O-U-L-D. Yeah. So it's, you know, think about what you're saying to yourself. Imagine, you know, seeing yourself on a screen and watching your life. Are you living your best life? Are you taking yourself too seriously, not seriously enough? What are the thought processes that go through your mind on a daily basis? A lot of times these show up at night when we're trying to fall asleep, or if we wake up during the night and our thoughts are just kind of running amok. What are the things that you're thinking about then? Are they things that are in your control or not? Where could you use some work in your self-talk? Are they accurate and true, or irrational thought patterns?
Because there's a difference between being honest with yourself.
Yes.
Right? And looking at challenges you may be having and how to deal with them better than to, as you've been using the word, irrationally,
yes,
be negative about yourself and basically trash talk, right? we all do it. We trash talk ourselves,
yes,
sometimes.
Yeah. That's like getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror and went, you know, and going, oh my God, another bad hair day, right? We all have things about, it seems that everyone's self-conscious about something, some part of their physical appearance. And we sometimes get really focused on that. And it's a good idea to do an exercise where you really look at your body and thank parts of it each day. You know, your legs for getting you around, your eyes for letting you see, your ears for letting you hear that beautiful music like we have at the beginning of our show. That's a very important piece. On the next part of the show, we're going to get into these irrational thought patterns that may be subconsciously sabotaging us. And I think you're going to find some really interesting things going on. For more information, check out our website at awakenedlivinginfusion.com. You can find our podcasts of our shows on our website, AM50's, 950's website, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for joining us on Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Don't wait. Get Black Friday appliance savings now from Warner Stellion. Get the same great deal and be ready for the holidays. At Warner Stellion, we guarantee our Black Friday prices so you can buy now with confidence. Laundry pairs, dishwashers, refrigerators, entire kitchen suites priced with unbeatable Black Friday discounts. Plus, you can trust our specialists to deliver and install your new appliances without worry. So why wait? Get Black Friday appliance savings while they last from Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
It's just a few weeks before winter officially settles in. Is your home ready for the holidays? Now is the perfect time to get your entire home zero-resified by the cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Get three rooms clean starting at just $149. You can also get $50 off your air duct cleaning when you call 952-ZERO-RES, 952-ZERO-RES, or book online anytime at ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hi. This is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend on AM 950. We feature Kevin Odegaard, longtime Minneapolis musician. He's got a great new record out called Artifacts. Kevin was also the guy that played guitar on Bob Dylan's Tangled Up in Blue on Above the Tracks. We also have Gary Lopak, his producer. We're going to be playing some tracks off the record, talking Minneapolis history, Bob Dylan, and more. Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chamblaut from Chamblaut Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chamblaut. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Served 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking. Or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today we'll see rain with a high near 44. Tonight the rain will continue with a low around 36. Tomorrow there'll be more rain with a high near 41. Monday, mostly cloudy with a high near 47. And Tuesday, cloudy with a high near 43. The Eat Local Minnesota Restaurant of the Week is Nightingale. They offer something for everyone's taste buds, from seafood to unbelievable vegetarian options. Come visit them at 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis. More details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Reach for me like the petals of a rose, blooming the season, gentle and slow. My body is the mountain, the ocean, the river, the sand and the soul. The life gives a call on now, my friend. Speak to me, help me understand, let us walk together. Take my hand and we will heal this land.
Welcome to Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. I'm Connie Bjerk.
And I'm Michelle Kitzmiller.
And we are your hosts. Together we explore health, wellness, spirituality, emotions, and life issues from new perspectives. Join us as together we infuse vitality into life. We're talking about beliefs and how they consciously and unconsciously affect our lives. In this segment, we're going to be examining some of the possible unconscious beliefs that may be sabotaging us. So let's look at a belief or a thought based in an irrational thought, such as, I should never blank, because if I ever do, it means I'm a rotten person. Did you notice the key clue words there? There were two of them, should and never, right? And these absolutes that we talked about in the last segment are very challenging to work with. You know, we're human. Things happen. We can't control everything.
Sometimes we do less than what we feel is our best, and we get on ourselves for that. We're going to be going over a beliefs inventory. In the office, we do this with 100 different questions that you can agree or disagree with that really all revert back to an irrational thought pattern. And if you agree with them or you disagree, tells you if you fall into that pattern or not. So the first one we're going to talk about is, it's important to me that others approve of me. Do you agree with that or not? Or do you feel I like the respect of others, but I don't have to have it? One really reflects self-worth. You know, it's nice if people agree with us or approve of us, but we don't need to have it in order to feel good about ourselves. However, if you do feel that it's important, if that's an underlying belief for you, it really speaks to a feeling of an absolute necessity for you to have love and approval from peers, family, and friends to feel good about yourself.
Which takes away from your own ability to feel good about yourself if you're constantly looking for somebody else to give you that.
That outside, external approval versus internal.
Right. What about, do you agree with the idea that I hate to fail at anything? Or I avoid things that I cannot do well. Both of those would fall into the you must be unfailingly competent and almost perfect in all that you undertake.
We all know somebody who doesn't want to really try something new because they're afraid that they're not going to be a master at it right away. And that's really tough on us. Another one is people who do wrong deserve what they get. Another one that's very similar to that is that too many evil people escape the punishment that they deserve. Those two beliefs are together in that, and they really believe that certain people are just evil, wicked, and villainous and should be punished. Instead of something like, accepting people for who they are, that the thing that they did is not so great, but the person is okay.
Right, attaching the behavior as defining the person.
Right, yeah.
So if you disagree with the idea that I usually accept what happens philosophically, or frustrations don't upset me, your underlying belief would be it is horrible when things are not the way you would like them to be.
There, we just can't control things, right?
Right. But we all know people who try, or we can sit back and see sometimes when we do it, and it creates more challenge in life than it really probably needs to.
Right. And then there's, if a person wants to, they can be happy under almost any circumstance. If you agree with that, that's a great thing. If you don't, that's quite another. And there's another one. People are disturbed, not by situations, but by the view that they take of them. And agreeing with that means that you disagree with the external events cause most human misery, that people simply react as events trigger their emotions.
This goes back to that control component of the previous one, right? That react versus respond. And we've talked about that before. What can we control? And it basically comes down to that. Are we going to react and be triggered by our emotions in a situation? Or are we going to take a breath, stand back, and figure out a way to respond to what's happening in the moment?
Right. And knowing yourself helps you respond in a way that is much more like you.
All right. Do you agree with the idea that I have a fear of some things that often bothers me? If you do, then you probably feel fear and anxiety about everything that is unknown, uncertain, or potentially dangerous. Or do you feel little anxiety over unexpected dangers or future events? And if you do, then you don't necessarily hold that to be true.
Right. This might be relevant for a lot of people. I usually put off important decisions. Okay.
And the other one is I try to go ahead and get some irksome tasks behind me when they come up. So one is avoidance, and one is getting the tough things done first. And that one is, it's easier to avoid rather than face life's difficulties and responsibilities. But let me tell you, my friend, they're not going away. And when you avoid them, they tend to get bigger.
And bigger. And bigger.
Until they become a real problem, right?
All right. How about, do you agree with everyone needs someone they can depend on for help and advice? And do you agree with, I try to consult an authority on important decisions? If so, you may hold the idea that you need something other or stronger or greater than yourself to rely on. Because then the question is, who knows you better than you?
Right. And there are times in our life when we do need to seek additional help. We're not saying that you shouldn't. But if your underlying belief is that you're not able to handle, you know, anyone, anything yourself, and you need someone outside you again to do that, to be that expert on you.
And I think many of us have probably had that friend or acquaintance that is constantly asking what they should do with their life or how they should solve their problems or what they should do about this. And so it's really that, you know, constantly looking for that external validation again and not trusting that you yourself can make those decisions in your own life.
Right. How about this one? A zebra cannot change its stripes. Or it's almost impossible to overcome the influences of our past. If you hold those to be true, the past has a lot to do with determining the present. When in reality, it influences it, but it is not the determining factor in your life.
And finally, do you agree with, I prefer quiet leisure above all other things? Or do you like to have lots of irons in the fire? The underlying belief is happiness can be achieved by inaction,
passivity.
Thank you. And endless leisure.
Nothing happens when nothing's happening, right?
It's like not making a choice is sometimes
a
making
choice.
A choice.
It is. And people forget that too. Yeah. You know, there's a feedback loop in our brain that kind of goes like this. There's an event that happens in the environment and our brain creates these perceptions on it, right? So it's got some cognitive stuff going on and we're thinking about what's going on. And then we engage in self-talk about what's going on. And when that happens, we're creating emotions and those hit our body and anywhere that, you know, those emotions where we feel them, whether it's anger, might hit you in the gut, you know, those types of things. And then what happens is due to those emotions that are created, we rationalize it and it goes into our memory bank as evidence that our perceptions are real. And it's a loop that kind of plays over and over again. And it's sort of like that justification or rationalization type thing that goes on with people. Well, I know this is true because, and so many of the things that we believe are not rational thoughts.
There's that element of following your emotions sometimes versus understanding that they're a guidance system.
Right.
And it's when that we get caught up in letting the emotions run us instead of looking at what they're trying to tell us and utilizing that information that those feedback systems kind of get out of whack sometimes.
Right. We've talked about before, too, how the heart sends more messages to the brain than the brain does to the heart or any other parts of the body. So it's really important to really know and understand where we feel our emotions in our body. The easiest one, of course, is anger. People tense up. Maybe your shoulders kind of, you know, go up more or that type of thing, as Michelle puts her shoulders down. No.
Not angry.
But when we know where we feel things in our body, we can
we can be raking or doing the dishes or doing something, and suddenly we feel something in our body. And if we can think, oh my God, that's where I feel fear. What am I anxious about? You know, what am I afraid of right now? And when you can do that and try and figure out what emotion you're going through, you can stop that before it gets a strong hold on you and starts affecting your thought, your self-talk, your self-thoughts.
Your actions.
Absolutely. Yeah, we need to be careful about that and really take a look at those things.
I always think it's interesting, too, that sometimes it seems like we seem to know things in our heads, or we know things in our hearts or feel them, right? And then until those two connect, however, change isn't necessarily going to come about, because trying to rationalize and reason through when you're coming up against those emotions sometimes is challenging. And so it's almost like you have to circumvent the emotion to some extent to get to the point where that connection can be made, right? So again, if you're letting the emotion kind of take you over, if you're angry at something, that's just the easiest one to go to.
It is.
And you're constantly letting that drive be your driving force. There's really no way for your reason to get through and make that connection of what is the root of that anger? Why is it there? How can I choose differently? Right? And then you kind of need to flip that switch so you can step back and allow that to change.
That's right. We need to be rational in our thinking, right? Our next segment, we're going to be talking about the power of belief. For more information, look on our website, awakenedlivinginfusion.com. You can find podcasts of our shows on our website, on AM950's website, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for joining us on Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. We'll be right back. We will heal
this love. Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's theme is idealism in the 60s and 70s. I'll talk about a symbolic protest event at the 1968 Olympics, which became iconic for future generations. The big interview will be with Father Harry Bury, who bravely went to North Vietnam in 1972, just as America was bombing that country. Finally, I'll talk about the election on November 6th. Ellie 2.0 Radio on AM 950.
Warning. Last year, over 40,000 Americans died in car-related accidents. Not a pleasant thought, is it? In fact, as thoughts go, it's downright depressing. Well, that's where we can help cheer you up. We're StandUpRecords.com, and we offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, downloads, and merchandise from the best comedians on earth. Artists like Marc Maron, Maria Bamford, Eddie Pepitone, and Doug Stanhope. Available at fine record stores, Amazon.com, and the iTunes Music Store. That's StandUpRecords.com. Come on, listen to us while you're driving. Live dangerously.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Hi, I'm Matt McNeil, and I want to encourage you to join me weekday afternoons at 3 p.m. for The Matt McNeil Show. It's a Twin Cities-based full hour of talk where we discuss what's going on in the state and in the nation from a Minnesota perspective. We'll be joined by a lot of great guests, and we'll take your phone calls. Interact with us on the Twitter page, at Matt McNeil Show, the Facebook page, Progressive Citizen X, The Matt McNeil Show, and on email, comment at am950radio.com. The Matt McNeil Show, weekday afternoons at 3, right here on AM 950.
I'm John Peterson of Ferndale Market, and I'm the third generation to grow turkeys on our family farm in Cannon Falls. We've grown them the same way since 1939, free range and without antibiotics. We're proud of the way our turkey tastes naturally, so we don't add a thing. Just 100% pure turkey. Reserve your free-range Thanksgiving turkey today for pickup at our store right on the farm in scenic Cannon Falls or at one of our Metro retail partners. Visit us at ferndalemarket.com for more information or to reserve your turkey today.
Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. I'm Connie Bjerk.
And I'm Michelle Kitzmiller.
And we are your hosts. Together we explore health, wellness, spirituality, emotions, and life issues from new perspectives. Join us as together we infuse vitality into life. Today we're talking about beliefs, both conscious and unconscious, and their power in our lives. In this segment, we're going to be talking about the power your beliefs have in creating your reality. Pretty exciting stuff. There are two authors that for years they would write, every 2 years, they would each write a book, and whether they planned this or not, which I think they didn't, they were about the same thing, right? And it's really important to have those different views because two people resonate with people differently. One of these authors is more ego-based and one is very heart-based, and yet we need the information that both of them have to say, reaching all of those kinds of people. And so they both wrote books. One is called The Spontaneous Healing of Belief, and the other is called The Biology of Belief. And it's interesting to note that beliefs, what you believe about something, actually overrides your biology. There's something called the placebo effect. Michelle, you want to tell us what that is?
Yes, because I'm fascinated by it.
I am too.
So the placebo effect is what is studied in medicine, that the effect that comes from not the medicine.
Right.
I don't really know. Yeah, that's the most simple way to describe it. But they attribute it to all other factors, right? Like relationships with providers or touch or things like that that might affect the treatment at hand versus the actual, whether it be a medication or a routine or something that's being applied in the study itself. And so the placebo effect then is how much something changes when you can't really measure what that something is.
Right. My mentor had a patient that she used to talk about. There was a man, one of her patients, that was she had cancer, my mentor did, over several years. And so she did a lot of work with cancer patients. And there was a gentleman that was in a trial study, right? And he really believed that he got the real drug. And his cancer was in remission for 10 years. He was positive, believed in this. He was just so, you know, so incredibly on board with it. 10 years later, he read an article on that study and how it was flawed. And he started questioning everything that had happened to him. Was his remission real? You know, the study, according to this article, this study was flawed. So therefore, he started to believe that article instead of what was going on in his body. And he died 3 weeks later. Because he believed.
And there are so many things out there like that. There was a wonderful study done on veterans and knee pain and surgery. And so what they did was they broke them down into three groups. One actually had an actual surgery where they did some modification in the knee. Other one, they had a surgery where they kind of cleaned things up, and the third group didn't have the surgery. And they followed these patients for 2 years, and they found that the outcomes of the people that didn't have the surgery but believed they had the surgery had just as good outcomes as the people that had the actual surgery.
Right. That is just fascinating to me. So what we believe really does make a difference. We create our world by the thoughts that we think. When we talk about people that have cancer, for instance, colon cancer in their family history, that can tend to be a mindset of, oh, everybody in my family dies from colon cancer, therefore that mindset is
set in motion. And remembering what we focus our time, energy, and attention on, we get more of. If you're thinking, oh, that's what I'm going to die of. I'm going to die of colon cancer. Yeah, you will. Right?
Right. And there's a fascinating new science or area of study in science called epigenetics.
Yes.
And so it's getting much more popular, much more publicized. It is the study of determining how much is really, when we talk about genetics, how much is passed down versus how much is sort of turned on like a light switch with our lifestyle. And lifestyle includes your beliefs.
Yes.
It includes your nutrition, your sleep, all sorts of choices we make in our life. But
right.
It comes down to belief really plays a role. Psychoneuroimmunology is another one where they look at the effects of the mind and how it affects the immune system. And so science is finally catching up.
It always does. It's just a lot later than spirituality and that type of thing. So it's important then to take a look at those things that we do believe, especially for ourselves. What is your family history?
What did you grow up? In what belief system did you grow up? Someone who grew up with a Hindu belief system that believes in reincarnation and past lives is going to perceive the world differently than someone who grew up maybe in a Christian religion where you believe in heaven and hell. Or Native Americans really are remarkable to me in how they look at their relationship with the earth. And it's a give and take, right? Like, and take isn't even an appropriate word to use there, but it's a nurturing and taking care of the earth because it also takes care of us. And so that's different than some beliefs that are held by other people depending upon how they're perceiving their world.
Right. And looking at the things that we have in common, it's just such an important thing because all faiths basically say the same thing, just in a different text.
Absolutely.
Context. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So beliefs are very important, and deciding what it is that you truly believe for you. What do you believe about the things that you eat? What do you believe about how much sleep you need? What do you believe about the relationships in your life? What do you believe about who is the expert in your life? Is it you, or do you give your power away to somebody else?
Do you believe life should be hard?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. When we talked about conscious language, one of the things that I really have taught, I've taught forever, is we need to watch the words that we speak. We need to watch the words that we think. Nothing should ever be hard again. It can be challenging, but hard is it has a very negative connotation to it. So if you want to talk about hard, a table is hard, the floor is hard, the wall may be hard, but nothing in your life should be hard.
Can someone be hard-headed?
A construction worker with a hard hat on? No, we really need to be careful about our words and what we think, because they do create our reality. So think about that for you. Trying to eliminate the coulda, shoulda, wouldas, the absolutes that create such negativity in our life. And also watching what you say and how you say it specifically when it comes to you. Thank you so much for being with us today on Awakened Living Infusion Radio. For more information about our clinic and what we have to offer, check out our website at awakenedlivinginfusion.com. You can also find our podcasts on our website, AM950s, iTunes, and more. Join us next Saturday as we talk about ways to rewire your brain for a more positive life. Thank you for being with us.